to the book of John, and I'll invite you to go to John chapter 14. I wish, in a way, that I had the opportunity to visit with each of you individually. It wouldn't be possible to do this, but I wish I could just, if there were nobody else in this room but just you and me, I wish I could sit down with each of you and then speak to you about this massive book that we have before us. And it is a massive volume, is it not? This is a tremendous book. Here are over 40 different writers were moved by the Spirit of God to write this book that we call the Bible, that is referred to in this book as being the Holy Scriptures. And as I would sit with you, I would ask you about this massive book. Do you understand? Do you have a concept of this book, exactly what this book is all about? It's filled with stories, Old Testament stories, that are very interesting. And of course, it starts off with creation, and we've begun studying in the book of Genesis on Wednesday nights. I've only got one message so far, but we'll go back there and the origin of man this coming Wednesday. But the Bible starts off with the story of creation, and of course, it then tells of the fall of man, the fall of Adam. And then our God speaks to Adam and to Eve and even to the serpent, and he says there is a remedy for this disease that you now have. It's a spiritual disease. It's a disease called sin. And God says the seed of the woman is going to come, and he's going to set everything straight. And then, of course, as you get to the end of Genesis chapter 3, we find the way that God is going to rectify the difficulty, that barrier between us and himself. It's going to be by the sacrifice of an innocent one. That is the Lamb of God, typified, symbolized, pictured by the death of the animals that God killed in order to clothe Adam and Eve. Very interesting story. And then, of course, you have Abel and his brother Cain. And on we could go all the way through the Old Testament, story after story, failure after failure. And all of these things put together are most interesting and most marvelous. But really, what is the message of all of that? And then, of course, we get to the New Testament. And in the New Testament, we have the story of the birth of Jesus of Nazareth. And the Scriptures tell us who he was and what he came to do and the reason that he did it. All of the things that are involved in his life and in his death and in his resurrection. And then his ascension into heaven. And then, of course, we have all the epistles. We have the book of Acts, which bridges the gap, if you would, between the four gospel narratives and the epistles, all of the epistles, beginning with Romans, all the way through the book of Revelation. We have all of those epistles, which were written by those men that God appointed to be writers of those epistles. And epistles means letters. They were letters written to various individuals and or churches, but really letters written to you and me. And if I were sitting with you and kind of set these things before you, I would then want to ask you, now here's this whole massive volume. And it's quite an undertaking to read it all. But after reading this tremendous book of God, I would then ask you this very question pointedly. Can you, in a nutshell, can you, in a very summarizing statement, can you tell me what this book is all about? And most people don't know. Many of you do. But I have a very strong suspicion that there are some of you who don't. What is this book all about? And then, I would like to ask you this question. Could you, in just a very few words, could you summarize this tremendous volume and just squeeze it down into just a very few words so that you could give me the gist of the book? You say, Jim, I don't think anybody could do that. I mean, here you have 66 books. You have 39 in the Old Testament. You have 27 in the New Testament. You have all of these different writers. Here you have Scripture that covers many hundreds and hundreds of years. I don't think anybody could condense all of this down to one statement. There is one who did that. He took all of the Scriptures and in just a very few words, very simple words, I might add, with only a couple of them being two syllables. There is one who has taken all of the Word of God for you and me. One who is infinite in wisdom, infinite in understanding. His knowledge cannot be measured. He has taken all of the book of God and he has condensed it down into a very simple yet very profound statement. And I'm referring to John chapter 14 and verse 6. Because there's a whole Bible in this verse. And you know, none but God could, in a few words, speak to us about this great volume in its entirety. Only one who knows the mind of God, who knows the purpose of God, only one who is himself God could ever condense all of the Holy Scriptures down to one verse. But the Lord Jesus does that. And it's John 14, verse 6. He's answering one of his disciples. And he says to this man, Thomas, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Now I'm going to be dealing with this verse this morning and again this evening. But I want to give you a brief road map of the way I'm going to deal with this. We'll deal with three things. He states his unmistakable identity. Who is Jesus of Nazareth? Well, the first two words, they tell us who he is. His unmistakable identity. I am. Oh, we just read that in Exodus chapter 3. And you read along with me. When Moses, he passed this bush that was, it was fully aflame. And yet as he watched, it didn't burn up. It wasn't consumed. And so he went over to take a look at it. Well, I would too, wouldn't you? If I saw a bush, well, that bush is on fire over there, and you go a little bit further. Wow, it's still on fire. All bushes burn up. Not this one. And so he said, I'll turn aside and see what this is all about. And then a voice says to him, take your shoes off. You're on the holy ground. What is he talking about? You're in the presence of majesty. I am. And then fast forward from Exodus, the third chapter, all the way to John's Gospel, chapter 14 and verse 6. And the Lord Jesus identifies himself as being the one who spoke to Moses hundreds and hundreds of years before this. And he starts off by saying, I am. It's his unmistakable identity. Secondly, unmistakable declarations from the lips of the Savior. We know who He is now. Who He is vital. Remember, I said all of the scriptures our Lord Jesus has condensed into one verse, and He begins by unmistakably identifying Himself, I am. So we know who He is. This is the infinite God. This is the God who stepped out of heaven and came down to earth. This is the one who left eternity and He came into time. And He did that He might redeem a people unto Himself. He's the great I am. And then He gives these three self declarations. And oh, how simple He speaks, but yet they're so profound, these statements. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Unmistakable self-declarations. And some of the Greek experts, they go into the depths of the original language, and they say that our Lord is saying, I am the way. I even I am the truth. I even I am the life. And He said, even I, and He said that despite what the Jews said, He's not God. He's blaspheming when He says He's God. And now Jesus of Nazareth says, I, even I, am the way. I, even I, am the truth. I'm the way, the only way. I'm the truth, the only truth. You're not going to find truth anywhere else. It's fully embodied in this man, Christ Jesus. And I, even I, am life. These are unmistakable self-declarations. And then here's the third thing. The unmistakable conclusion. Or, if you want another word, the unmistakable deduction. This is what we can deduce from this. This is what we can conclude. Since Jesus of Nazareth has this unmistakable identity that He is the great I am, and since He has made these three unmistakable self-declarations, I, even I am the way, I, even I am the truth, I, even I am the life, here is the unmistakable conclusion or deduction. No man. And that's generic. No man, no woman, no boy, no girl, no teenager, no young adult, no middle-aged adult, no older adult. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Simple words. Look at it again. Most of them are single syllable words. Our Lord he didn't speak over the heads of people. Now, he spoke in some parabolic ways so that the self-righteous wouldn't understand what he was saying, but he uses words that we can grasp. And all of you this morning who are of age enough to understand the words that I'm using, you can, to a degree, understand my Savior's words. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And he uses definite articles. He's not a way, as though there's many ways. No, he's the way. He's not a truth. Well, people say, I think there's truth in all kind of religions. Now, wait a minute. There is but one truth. How do you know that, preacher? Because the Lord Jesus said, I am the way, the truth. There is only one truth. There aren't many truths. There aren't many gospels. There's just one truth. And in the man Christ Jesus, all of the truth that you need to know to get from here to the Father, to get from earth to heaven, all of the truth you need to know for the salvation of your soul is embodied in, is found in this one person, the great I Am, who is Jesus. So you see here, actually in verse number 6, we have both the humanity of our Savior as well as His deity. Because it begins by saying, Jesus saith unto. Who is Jesus? That's the name given to Him at His birth because of the Word of God that came to Mary and to Joseph that was to be His name. Thou shalt call His name Jesus. It's His earthly name. This is the name that people despise. It's the name that Saul of Tarsus, he hated that name. And when the Lord crossed his path on the road to Damascus, and Saul of Tarsus was knocked off his horse, he's down in the dust, he says, Who art thou, Lord? And a voice came back, I'm Jesus. Oh, that's the one he hated. That's the one he despised. That's the one he had no use for. I'm Jesus, whom thou persecutest. Jesus, that's his earthly name. But Jesus of Nazareth is also, at the same time, the great I Am. And so we come to this unmistakable conclusion. You cannot come to God any other way. There is no other truth. There is no life to be found anywhere else except in this one who is Jesus, the great I Am. At the end of Pat's funeral, someone came up to me and said, I'm glad you quoted the most hated verse in the Bible. Well, to me, one of the most hated verses in the Bible, of course, would be found in Romans chapter 9, where God said, I'll be merciful to whom I'll be merciful, I'll be gracious to whom I'll be gracious, His sovereign grace. But this is also a verse that many people, they choke on this. Because you see, this rules out all other ways. This statement of our Lord Jesus, it If this is a declaration that everything else is error, because he's the truth. And our Lord is saying everything else, every other religion is death. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. And then he says, no man cometh unto the Father but by me. Let me tell you something. Our Lord Jesus is giving one of the most dramatic statements you'll ever read. And he is giving to us one of the most dogmatic statements we'll ever read. And he is giving to us one of the most doctrinal statements that we'll ever read. Now there are people who will say to you and me, they'll say, you folks think you're right and everybody else is wrong. You think what you preach is correct. Everybody else is in error. And they'll say things like, you know, we love Jesus. Why can't y'all just love Jesus like we do? We all love Jesus. Oh, we maybe have a few little differences along the way, but hey, we all want to get to heaven, don't we? Why do y'all insist on making things so specific? Why can't you be more like Jesus? He was loving and tender and kind. Well, he was all that. But he was also dogmatic. You see, these words, these are very powerful words. But these are not the words of a preacher. These are not the words of John. I have great respect for John the Apostle. It would have been wonderful to hear John preach, but John didn't say this. I would love to have heard the Apostle Paul preach, who had such a grasp on the Scriptures, who set forth the purpose of God and the purchase of Christ Jesus and the power of the Holy Spirit and regeneration. But this is not one of our Lord's apostles making these statements about Jesus of Nazareth. This is the Lord Jesus himself who narrows things down to really fine-tune it. And it's so unmistakable. See, you're not going to mistake what he says this morning. You can't. Not if you listen. And not if you understand words. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way. I'm the way to the Father. I'm the way to heaven. I'm the way to salvation. I'm the way to everlasting life. You don't mistake what he's saying, do you? He says, I am the way. I'm the way from here to there. And he says, I am the truth. I am the truth. Everything else is error. In the Bible, truth is likened unto light, correct doctrine, whereas darkness is death, error, heresy. You see, in every other religion except the religion of Christ Jesus, and this is true Christianity, and I know Christianity is a word that's tossed about quite frequently today, and you know, they have a big umbrella, and anybody who says they believe in God, well, you're a Christian. No. There is the truth. There's the way to God, and there's the truth of God embodied in Christ Jesus. And that truth is Christianity. And apart from that truth, all is death. You understand that, don't you? It's not complicated. I know sometimes people say, y'all just preach over my head. I hope this is not over your head. If you're listening to me, if you're looking at me, I know you're looking at me, and hopefully you're listening to me. This isn't over your head, is it? This is so simple and yet so very, very profound. Well, how profound is it, preacher? It will take the Spirit of God to drive it to your heart before you really embrace this. That's how profound it is. There's the unmistakable self-declarations of the Savior. I am the way. I'm the way to God. I'm the way to heaven. You want to go to heaven? I do. And I know that salvation, it's much more than I want to go to heaven and I don't want to go to hell, but it certainly includes that. I don't want to perish. I don't want to be separated from God. I want to go to God. I want to enjoy God. I want to fellowship with God. I want to be with God forever, don't you? Well, there's a way. It's just the way, though. You say, well, there's the Catholic way and the Presbyterian way and the Baptist. No. No. There's just the way. And there's the truth. The truth. And it's all found in this mysterious, very complex person of Jesus, who is the great I Am. And here is where we find life. I want life. I want life. Was it Jeremiah said to the people through the inspiration of God, I set before you life and death. I don't want death. Nobody who understands the issues wants death. Because you see, death in the Bible is not a ceasing of existence. Just as life in the Bible isn't just meaning existence. I want more than existence. I want life. What is life? Christ said, this is life eternal, to know thee, the only true God. That's real life. You see, people who perish and go to hell, they exist forever. But you can't hardly call that life. That's a never-ending existence. But it isn't life. Life in the Bible. Christ said, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. Life in the Bible means communion with and fellowship with the living God. That's what life is in the Bible. That's the reason the Bible pictures all of us as being dead. Well, I'm not dead, preacher. I'm alive. Well, you're alive in your flesh, but you're dead to God. You're dead to God. Well, how can I have fellowship with God, communion with God? How can I approach God? How can I worship God? How can I spend forever with God? Through Him who is the life. You see, you're beginning to catch on. I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. Now, I have a threefold goal in bringing both of these messages, which every message is important. I don't think I've ever preached, but what I didn't feel like is the most important message I've ever preached. Because you can't call on yesterday and go back to another message. This is the most important time of your life right now. You know that? Because God in His mercy has put you under the sound of a voice that's going to be honest with you, who is just echoing. What is a preacher? He's just echoing the truth of God. That's all he's doing. I'm just rehearsing the truth of God. About an unmistakable identity. Who is Jesus of Nazareth? Well, he's the great I Am. That's who he is. He's the eternal God. Well, what did he say about himself? I know his apostles and everything that the apostles wrote in the New Testament. It's all the truth about him. But what did the Lord Jesus himself, what did he say? He said, I'm the way to God. Well, you know what that means? Baptism's not the way. So I've been baptized. Good for you. But that's not the way to God. Well, I sprinkled when I was a little baby. That's not the way to God. Do words mean anything? How can false religion look at verses like this and then say the way to God is by doing unto others as you would have them do unto you? How could they ever say that? There's no truth in that's the way to God, that's the way to heaven. That's wrong, that's a lie. Well, should we practice the golden rule? Well, of course we should. And God's people, through the presence and the fact that the Holy Spirit inhabits us, we seek to do good. But that's not the way to God. Well, what is the way to God? Somebody. Somebody is the way to God. Somebody and His work. Because you cannot divide the work from the person who did the work. The work is the work of salvation that He did. This great person, the great I Am, He came down here not to try to save, but to save. To seek and to save that which was lost. Did He do it? Yes, He did. Well, how did He do it? Just a few short hours after this portion of Scripture, after He had spoken to His disciples, just a few short hours, He's just an arm length away, as it were, from the cross of Calvary. He's going to be arrested. He's going to be put on trial before a religious court and then a civil court. And then they're going to crucify Him. But this is all according to the purpose of God, because there was no other way to save sinners except the justice of God be satisfied. Because the Bible says the soul that sinneth shall die. God's got to get death. God's angry with the wicked every day. Sin is an opposition to God. It's an attack upon His throne. It's an attack upon His sovereignty. Something's got to be done about sin. And God says, here's the way I deal with sin, through death. And if you die without the Lord Jesus Christ, if your physical life ends and you're not in Him, you're going to die forever. Well, preacher, God's a merciful God. Won't He let people get out of hell? No. No. The Scripture says, there the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched ever. Why is that? Because your death in hell will never satisfy the justice of God. Ever. Well, surely after 1,000 years, God will say, well, he's had enough. No. The reason you think that way is because you don't understand the character of God, His justice, and His wrath that demands infinite payment for your sins against Him. That's why when somebody perishes in their sins, they go to hell and there is no end to that destruction. But you tell me, preacher, that Christ is the way to God. That doesn't there have to be a death? Oh, yes. Oh, yeah. That's why He died. We say, how can the death of one man satisfy the demands of God's justice for millions and millions of people, all those the Father gave Him in the covenant of grace? The covenant of grace. Here's why His death satisfied God. Because His was an infinite price paid to an infinite God. He's God Himself dying. And God was satisfied with His death. See, God's going to get death everywhere. It's like that Passover night in Egypt. He told the Israelites, the firstborn's going to die unless your door's marked with blood. So they had to kill a lamb. And if no lamb had been killed, then God's going to do some killing. Oh, God wouldn't do that. You don't know who God is, do you? Don't think you've ever met God. But God is love. Yes, He is. He's also holiness. But God is merciful. Yes, He is. But He's also just. And He says, the soul that sinneth shall die. He's going to get death. And I'll tell you what salvation, I'll tell you what salvation's all about. Is the Spirit of God convincing us the only help for us helpless sinners, the only hope we have of getting to the Father, of being accepted by the Father, of being received by the Father, of having the life of God, of having everlasting enjoyment of God, the only hope is found in this one who lived, who died, and who rose again. And whoever lives to make intercession for us. My conscious goal in you hearing this message this morning, and I hope again this evening, is number one, I want to honor the God of salvation. I want to honor this one who says, I am the way. Without Him, there is no going to God. He's the way. And I want to honor Him who is the truth. Without Him, there is no knowing God. You can't know Him. You've got to know the truth. Did not the Savior said, ye shall know, what is that? The truth. And the truth shall set you free. I believe we're all good people, preacher, and you know, as long as we're sincere and try to do the best we can, we'll all get to heaven. That's not the truth. That is not the truth. God demands perfection. Now that's the truth. God demands holiness. That's the truth. God demands righteousness. That's the truth. Well, where am I going to find all of this? In Him who is the truth. And you need life. You need life. I tell you what, you got to have a life that's a whole lot better than this physical life. Because this physical life, it's kind of evaporating. It's going downhill. Some of you older than I am, You picking up a little bit more speed, maybe. But we're heading toward the grave. There's got to be a life beyond this life. Yes, there is. Christ is the life. You see that? So I want to honor the God of salvation. And here's the second thing that I intend in the message this morning. What I want you to take away from this, I sure want to point sinners to the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to give clear instructions. This is such a precious portion of Scripture, and it isn't difficult to understand, and yet it'll take the power of the Spirit of God before you'll receive this. I want you to see in the Lord Jesus, in this Jesus who spoke, this one who is the I Am, I want you to see that all you need is Him. He's all you need. His person and His work. I want to point sinners to Christ. And then, here's something else I want you to take away from this. And this is for the people of God. I want to help you. I got to thinking about this. There are a lot of the Lord's people that they say, you know, I'd like to talk to people about the things of the Lord. And I've had lots of people say, yeah, I'm no preacher. What do I say to my wife? What do I say to my husband? What do I say to my children? What do I say to my friends? How can I set before them what this Bible is all about? Set before them John 14:6. Huh? Can you do that? And you can just tell them who's speaking. Jesus. That's His humanity. The I Am. And He enlarges upon the fact that He is I Am in verse 7. He says, if ye had known Me, you should have known My Father also. From henceforth you know Him and you've seen Him. You have seen the Father. Wow. And Philip said unto Him, Lord, show us, manifest unto us the Father, and it will satisfy us, it sufficeth us. Jesus saith unto him, have I been with you? Have I been so long with you? I've been with you 3 years nearly. I've been teaching you. I've been preaching to you. You've heard My sermons. After all this time, have you not known Me, Philip? He that hath seen Me hath seen the Father. So when you talk to somebody about the things of God, you say, I fumble my words, I just can't get it out. Just go to John 14:6. And you can say, listen, I can't explain all the Bible, but I can give you in one statement what the Bible is all about. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way. He's the way to God. He's the way to the Father. He's the way to the Father's house. I am the truth. He's the truth. He's reality. See, in the Old Testament, and I'll enlarge upon this tonight, but in the Old Testament, there were pictures of Christ and emblems of Christ. And all of these things that depicted Him, but that wasn't really the full truth. That was accurate as far as they went. But it was only shadows. And a shadow isn't real. But a shadow reveals that which, or rather, he who is real. He is the truth. He's the truth. All of the pictures in the Old Testament, they're wonderful. They're beautiful. But our Lord Jesus himself, now he is the truth come down. And then he is the life. Want to go to the Father? Want to know the Father? Gotta have life. Where can I get life? He's the life. Now, you don't have any difficulty with this, do you? You understand it? So you can relate this to your friends and your neighbors and your relatives. If you need to, get the CD and listen to it again. And listen to the one tonight. Here's an unmistakable identity. Here's unmistakable self-declarations. I am the way, the truth, the life. And here's an unmistakable conclusion. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So can I come to the Father through Mary? No. Not if he's the truth, you can't. Well, surely I can come to the Father through St. Jude? No. You can't come through St. Jude. You've got to go to the Father the same way Jude went to the Father, through Christ Jesus. I tell you, it's all right here. And you know, only one as great as the Son of God could make these little statements that in the words, they're so simple, and yet it's so weighty. And if you can grasp what I've said this morning, if the Spirit of God would drive it to your heart, oh, how blessed you are that He would do that. May the Lord take the things that have been spoken and make application of them to each of us. We'll meet again this evening at 6:30. The men will meet once again in my office at 6. And then we'll have our worship service at 6:30. And we'll come right back to this passage of Scripture. I got a few more things I want to say about it. We'll ask God to bless what's been spoken. And then Marty will play some music on the organ. And after I'm back to the vestibule with my mask on to greet you, then you'll be dismissed. Let's pray. It is so good of you, Father, to enable us and to bring us into the place of worship where we can hear about our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and his work of redemption, of his blood that satisfied divine justice. Blood poured out. And he who died for us arose, and he ever lives, making intercession for us. Lord, take the things that have been spoken. Take your word. Take the things that the Lord Jesus said. Lord, drive them into each of our hearts. And may we now know, if we didn't before, what is a statement that would summarize all of the book of God. And surely it is this, and I have tried to quote this and read this over and over and over again to drive it into our memories, that from the youngest in this building to the oldest, we will remember these words. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Glorify your Son, Father, even as your Son glorified thee. For Christ's sake I pray. Amen.